Take my heart, lay it down at the feet of you whose crown. Take my life, let it go, let it out.
Thank you, God. God, you're the only true creator. Jesus, we worship you this morning. God, we just pray, Lord, that you will speak this morning to your people. To anoint the word, Lord, this morning as we bring it to these people and those that will be watching. Lord, we need you this morning. I need you. Lord, I can't do this without you. God, bless your people in here. Bless those that are watching, those that will be watching. Lord, let this message go where you will. God, and your will be done in here this morning. Your kingdom come in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. We can all be seated this morning. Well, you've got a special treat this morning. You've got me bringing the word this morning. So hope y'all are ready for this. I hope I'm ready for this. But we've got a word this morning that I received at 7 o'clock this morning as I began to study for this on short notice, that it's called Be Watchful. And, you know, we all know that we're living in the end of the end of the last days. And what I want to try to convey to you today is now is not the time to be sleeping, you know, be unaware, to be caught off guard of where we are, and that we need to be looking for Jesus and drawing close to him and looking for his return, which, you know, would be soon. I mean, there's no time frame on it, but it's just the way the world is going, the way that things are progressing with the Satanists and the people that are controlling the powers that be that control the governments and the world, and the one world government people are pushing hard. I mean, if you've watched anything that has come about with recently with the elections that we're going to be having in America before long, the liberal side of politicians are, I mean, they're ramping up and it's getting bad is what they're trying to push, what they're wanting to do with all the mandating this and mandating that. And so I want us today to really look and look at some of the scriptures that deal with watching and being awake. And so I want to go right here. This came to me, this verse came to me in worship, and I think it's kind of what I'm going to lead off with to kind of prelude us a little bit, is Luke 21, verse 28, and you don't have to follow me on that, Silas, if you don't want to. And when these things begin to come to pass, and this is kind of the end times things he was talking about, so And when all these things like the beginning of sorrows and all this kind of stuff is coming to pass, he said, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So that's what I want us to do today, is to lift our heads up and get out of a sleepy, nonchalant Christian walk that we might be in. So let's go to Revelation chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 1 there. We're going to talk about the Church of Sardis for a second, and then we'll move on to a few other scriptures I've got. Now, I don't know how long this will go, but probably not as long as Pastor Dean would go. So hopefully we can get through some scriptures today and be good. So chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest, and thou art dead. So he's saying, you have a name that you live, but in reality, not so much. You're dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. Freak me out. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which names a few people, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So, go back to two. Be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain. Then verse 3 says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If thou therefore shalt not watch, come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I come. So he doesn't say that it'll come on us as a thief in the night no matter what. He said, but if you are not watching, and because he says, if thou wilt watch, right, then he won't come on you as a thief in the night. So that the flip side of that, if you're not watching and you're not understanding and you're not knowing, well, then he will come as a thief in the night and you will not know when he's coming. So to watch, you got prayer, studying the word, worship, fellowshipping with other believers to strengthen yourself, praying in the Holy Spirit, watching. It's not just about watching the news or watching TV or having the TV on, but it's about watching for Jesus, watching for his return, paying attention to the world and what's going on around us to know what's going to happen, what's coming. So the beginning of sorrows, the tribulation, the wars, the rumors of wars, all this stuff, are we watching it in the news take place now? Yeah. So that's where we should lift our heads because our redemption draws nigh. Let's go to Matthew 24 because this is a, you know, end time chapter there. And we'll go to verse 36 and we'll read through 44. And this is kind of the little heading in my Bible says the time of Christ's return of coming, Christ's coming is unknown. And that's kind of what we just read in Revelation. He said, but if you're not, if you'll watch, you'll know. But if you're not watching, you won't know. So verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So there's a reference to what was going on in Noah's time, so we should be watching for that, right? For as in the days, that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So here, 42, watch therefore, because you don't know when he'll come exactly. Got to be vigilant, got to be awake. Then he goes on, 43, he says, but know this, that if the good man of the house, so me, I'm the man of the house. If I know a thief is coming, then I'm going to be watching for him. If I know a thief is coming and I'm not watching for him, then what's he going to do? He's going to break in the house. He's going to steal my goods. He's going to take away everything. And I'll be like, what just happened? But if I'm watching and I'm vigilant in protecting my family and doing the things I need to do, then he won't have a chance, right? So it says he would have watched. He said, if he'd known when the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. So are we watching? Are we watching for Jesus to come back? Are we watching that we're not caught off guard by the coming of Jesus? I mean, this is what I'm trying to stress is, are we asleep in the Word? Are we reading our Bibles? Are we more interested in TV and this and that? What are we doing with our spiritual life? Are we soaking up the cares of the world, or are we soaking up the cares of God? And that, and to me, I mean, this was, I'm speaking to myself in preaching this, because I've kind of been here, just being real. I mean, I've been reading my Bible and I've been praying, but I've not been just tearing it up and doing a subject by subject study. So, I mean, I'm speaking to me just as much as anybody else. Let's go to 2 Peter 3. We'll do verses 1 through 14. So the little subheading in mine says exhortations to steadfastness. That's what we're talking about, right? Being steadfast in the word. So this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, by that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also with the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and goodness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promises, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot, and blameless. So I want to go back. It says, you know, verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord. Looking, you know, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace. Look, look, watch, you know, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which in which the heavens shall pass away. So, I mean, God doesn't want us to be lost. He doesn't want the world to be lost. He doesn't want people to perish. And if we're not looking for him, if we're not awake and studying and reading the scriptures, how are we going to lead other people to Christ? How are we going to show them what God has done for us, what he's done in our lives? You know, how can we have the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit to have the power to reach people, to for the Holy Spirit to break through the hardness of the hearts, if we're lukewarm, if we're backslidden, if we're not where we need to be with God? I mean, how can we do that and have anointing and power to reach people? I mean, you know, we got to be, you know, the hands and feet for God to here on this earth, to walk it out, to live it out, to show people the way to get there. And if we're asleep in the Word, if we're asleep in Jesus, If we're asleep, then how can we do that if we're not awake and looking and leading people? I mean, it's about them. It's not about us. I mean, it's about the people that drive up and down this road every day in front of this church. Are they saved? Are they lost? I mean, the blood of Jesus was shed for them just like they were for us. So how can we show them the way that God has moved on us if we're not willing to wake up and, you know, be Jesus to them, you know? You know, we'll go to 1 Thessalonians 5. We'll read verses 1 through 6 here. Then we've got some definitions I'm going to show you here in a second about watching and sleeping. And the subtitle in my Bible on this again is A Thief in the Night. It says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. You should be awake. You should know what season we're in. You should know that we're in the end of the end of the last days. So he shouldn't have to tell us that we're in the end. We should be watching and knowing that we are. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness. So brethren, fellow Christians, we should be in the light of Jesus. We should be in the light of God. We're not living in the darkness of sin and of the world. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So, let us not sleep. So, what is sleep? The Greek word 25:18. Give him a minute to find that. It should be the first one, the 40. Here we go. So, katheudu. I don't know. I barely speak English. So it says to sleep, to lie down, to rest, by implication to fall asleep, literally or figuratively. To fall asleep, drop off to sleep, sleep normally. Euphemistically, to be dead. Metaphorically, to yield to sloth and sin. To be indifferent to one's salvation. That's what I want to focus in on is the C there. To yield to sloth and sin. And to be indifferent to one's salvation. And that's what I want to get to, is are we asleep? Are we indifferent to our salvation? Have we become slothful in our study and prayer life? Have we fallen asleep? Therefore, let us not sleep. Therefore, let us not be slothful. Let us not be indifferent to our salvation. Let us, so the flip side of that is to be jubilant about our salvation, to be exuberant about our salvation, to be open about our salvation, to be sharing with the people around us about our salvation. And then he says, let us not sleep as do others. What others? Who's he talking to? I mean, are there Christians around us that are sound asleep that you wouldn't know if they were a Christian or not? I mean, do they share their salvation? Are they joyful in the Lord? I mean, we know the world, the sinners, those that are dead in Christ have no joy like we do. Their joy comes from possessions and worldly things. Our joy comes from the Lord and knowing the promise of our salvation. So have we been excited about being saved? Are we excited about worshiping God on Sunday mornings and Monday mornings and Wednesday mornings and Friday mornings? And are we excited to get up and spend time with Him? Are we excited to do the things that He's called us to do? The things that He's told us in times past to go do that we're going, Lord, I'm sleeping. I can't do that. Is that where we are as a church, as a body of Christ, as churches around us? What do we want to do with our salvation? Let's look at the word watch. And all these verses that I'm reading right now, the words sleep and watch are the same words. Again, I am going to pronounce this. To keep awake, to watch, literally or figuratively, be vigilant, wake, be watchful. So to watch, give strict attention to, be cautious, active, to take heed lest through remission and indolence some destructive calamity suddenly overtake one. Is the thief going to come in our house and suddenly overtake us because we're not watching, lifting our heads up and looking for our redemption, which draws nigh? I mean, that take heed lest through remission and indolence some destructive calamity. And indolence of what? The world, the pleasures of the world. I mean, that, whew, destructive calamity. I mean, that is certainly what a thief, what the devil wants to do. He goes around about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy, devour, get an advantage over. Take us away from God. Take us away from our walk. Take us away from the calling that God has put on our lives to be a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, a prophet, an apostle, a Christian. I mean, you don't have to have those titles to go do the work of an evangelist. You don't have to have those titles to share the gospel with somebody in the supermarket. You know, you don't have to have those titles. You're a Christian. You should be exuberant about your Christianity. So let's go to Luke 12. And, you know, I mean, I know what God has spoken over me in times past about the callings that on my life. And, you know, some of that has come to fruition as I'm standing here now. Some of it is still yet to come. And it's just a matter of, do we care enough to seek after what God has spoken to us about what we're supposed to do for Him? I mean, I know, you know, we have the School of Ministry students, they are walking out some of that to learning and diving into and being taught about the scriptures and different subjects within it to hopefully they'll be starting churches and ministries and reaching the lost from here. And that's what we're, you know, that's the whole purpose of the ministry school, is to get students to be watchful and not asleep, and moving in the direction that they feel God has called them to move. So Revelation, Luke 12, verse 32, I guess I need to get there. And we'll read through 40. It says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." What kingdom? His. "Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girt about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto the men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." So it says, blessed are the servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. You know, right before that, he says that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Yes, Master. Or is it? Does he have to stand here for days and hours knocking before you come, open the door, and invite him in? I mean, we in America, we really have no excuse. I mean, there's a Christian radio station. Well, I'll use that term loosely. There's Christian bookstores. There's access to Bibles. There's access to the internet. And I mean, I can take my phone and look up any pastor, any sermon, any teaching that I choose. I mean, we in America, in the West, we have no excuse for continual knocking by the Lord to come, for us to open the door. When it says, yes, Master, he knocks and you answer him immediately. I mean, that's, why do we wait? Why do we procrastinate? Why do we push the limits of God and his willing to call us to come to him? Because there will be a time that he will no longer be available to you. There will be a time when he will no longer call you. Do we want to wait till that last second before we answer God? I mean, I don't want to take that chance. Because if I'm not already opening up to him now, then why would I do that later? Why would I answer his call, his knock on the door later, if I've been asleep? And, oh, you know, the one verse we read, you know, where is the promise of his coming? All things have been the same since our fathers fell asleep. Do we want to be that asleep? Do we want to be the person that God has to knock for days, hours, and years on our proverbial heart, our door, before we answer his call, when we should have done it immediately? I mean, that's what makes the move of God in Africa and all these other places, even in the Muslim nations, the moves, when God is moving there, they're answering. And in China, I mean, if you tore out one page out of your Bible and mailed it to a Christian in China, you've given them their whole world right here. Because they can't have this. They can't even have this one page, let alone the whole book. Why do we not in America and in the West not feel the same way about the scriptures, about God? Because we're lulled to sleep by what's out there. But I'm telling you now that the time is to awaken, to get out of the slumber, to move closer to God, because he says, you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you, and put away the cares of the world and the slumber that it lulls us with. You know how when you're driving on the interstate and it's late at night and you kind of get that, what they call interstate numbness, or what, and you kind of doze off to sleep, but yet you're still awake. And, you know, that's when you kind of tend to drift off the road. What's on either side of the road? The ditch. You know, if you're easing towards the ditch because you've fallen asleep by the numbness of the world, I'm telling you, it's time to wake up from that and get your life back on the road and out of the ditch, or out of headed towards the ditch. Because Jesus is coming. There's no doubts of that. Exactly when? Probably not a huge amount of time. My lifetime, more than likely. My children's lifetime? Yeah, no doubt. So are we going to be a people that is awake and vigilant, and are we going to be a people that is asleep? That I get it right when I'm hanging on the cross beside Jesus like the thief did, right? Are we going to be the person laying on our deathbed that finally cries out to God? Are we going to do it now? You know, I mean, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. You know, we're not guaranteed anything past now. I mean, how many stories have we heard preachers have fallen over dead in the pulpit? I mean, heard stories about that, right? So why are we different? You know, our hope has to be in God. Our hope has to be in Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice that he paid. I mean, I was thinking about that the other day. I mean, because my parents aren't saved, and they don't want to hear it. And I was thinking, you know, there's that story of the drawbridge operator, that his son went to work with him one day, and he lost track of his son, and his son was down under the drawbridge playing, and there's a train coming, loaded full of passengers. Well, does the toll bridge, the drawbridge operator, does he let the bridge down knowing that it'll kill his son to save the trainload of people coming to him? Or does he let the people in the train die to save his son? See, that's what God did for us, was he sacrificed his son to save us. He sacrificed, his son was in the drawbridge and closed it on him to save us. And we want to sleep and not be what God called us to be. I mean, you know, it is completely mind-blowing to me as a father to know that if I had to sacrifice one of my children's lives so that other people could live. Could I do it? I pray to God I never have to be in that situation. Because I don't know. I don't know. But he did for us. And Jesus willingly, knowing what was set before him, I mean, he was praying in the garden of Gethsemane. Lord, if you can, take this cup away from me. But nevertheless, your will. I mean, Jesus knew what was coming. And he did it anyway. And this is the one of the most aggravating things about Western church to me is we're flipping about it. We don't care. That we are not willing to sacrifice getting rid of the TV or getting rid of this or whatever to be able to have quality time with our Savior, our Creator, our God. But he said, I love you. You know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to go hang on the cross, shed my blood, so that I can have a relationship with you in eternity. All you got to do is choose me. All you got to do is come to me. All you got to do is have a relationship with me. And we don't. I mean, the burden is light. The yoke is easy of Christ. But we make it hard. We make it difficult by not caring about the people around us, not caring about our own salvation. So, I mean, it's amazing what we do to ourselves when things are easy. You know, and I'm going to stop there because that's kind of where we are. But I did have a few more scriptures, but we'll worry about those later. But I want you to go, I mean, I'm not going to do an altar call today or anything like that, but I want you to go home and think about where you're at with your walk, where people around you's walk is at. Who can you encourage? Who can you edify? Who can you speak into their lives to draw them closer to Jesus, to show them what he's done for you, what he will do for them? Let's play that last song again, and we'll do a worship song, and we'll get out of here today. Y'all be praying for Fire and Grace Church and Pastor Dean and Nancy and Faith, and just pray for the school, ministry school. I mean, we're under extreme attacks left and right because of the word that goes forth out of this church. And so I just ask y'all to pray for everybody, pray for our students, our pastor, you know, our leaders, our elders, their families. I mean, we covet your prayers greatly. So let's do this song, and then I'll pray, and then we'll be dismissed from there.
I will
my feet. All I have, I'm kneeling here. Be all my hopes, be all my dreams. You're my delight, my everything. And I will worship you, Lord. Only you, Lord, and I will bow down before you, only you, Lord, and I will worship you, Lord. And it's just you and me here now.
Lord, we just thank you, God. God, that we can come humbly before the throne of grace and boldly. God, and if we seek your face and draw close to you, you will draw close to us. God, we need you. In our lives, Lord, we need you in this church. We need you to be with us. God, we can't do this without you. God, we can't lead people to Christ without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We can't move without you moving first. God, I ask you, Lord, to go before us, Lord, and prick the hearts of those people around us, God, that we need to speak to, God, and then give us the boldness to speak, God, for somebody's life may just depend on it. God, help us to encourage the people that are brokenhearted and bruised around us to turn to you and find rest that they need. God, it's only you, and there's nobody else, there's no one else that can save. Only you, Jesus. Now, protect this church family this week, Lord. Send your angels down to stand around us all. Watch over us and guide our every step. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Y'all be safe this week. Thank y'all for coming up, everybody that traveled from great distances to be with us today. It means a lot. God bless.